Today, in the next few weeks, we're going to camp out in Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8, and we're going to begin working through that. So for the next few weeks, that's where we're going to be. But before we go there, and the title today is Spiritual Death Via Baptism. Spiritual Death Via Baptism, and we're going to focus on that. Jesus said at the beginning of his ministry, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then Jesus said, "As the Father sent me, I'm sending you." Anything new? Ergo, what does that mean? Therefore. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us. He has anointed us to preach good news to the poor. He has sent us to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, this week, someone asked me a really good question. They said, "Pastor Jeff, every week you repeat these verses, and I know that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jesus, but how do we know that verse is for us?" What a great question. It's a great question, and I encourage the person, if you had the question, I promise you other people have the question too. So how do we know that this passage in Luke, that Jesus, because Jesus is actually quoting from the Old Testament, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. Now, how did the Spirit of the Lord come upon Jesus? What happened? Later on, you're going to have the right answer. You know, in Sunday school, the right answer was always what? One word. Jesus, that's right. A little bit later, you're going to have the right answer. But the right answer right now is baptism. Jesus lived how many years here on the earth? 30 years on the earth. Then he was baptized. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and the Spirit led him into first the temptation and then into ministry. And Jesus said he could do nothing by himself. It was the Spirit of the Lord flowing through him that performed all the miracles and did all the stuff that happened. And then at the end of Jesus' ministry, you know, look at Peter, the wimp. The guy ate his shoe every other day. Amen? I mean, no one stuck his foot in his mouth like Peter. I know I do often too. One lady accused me of being just like Peter. I thanked her. She didn't mean it as a compliment though. So anyway, back to reality. So Jesus tells his disciples, he gives them the great commission to go and announce his good news everywhere. But he says, wait, wait, wait. Wait for what? He literally uses the same word. Wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Do not go. Do not leave Jerusalem. Wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then when the Holy Spirit comes upon them, the scriptures say that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe that Jesus intentionally used the word baptism so that we couldn't miss it. He was baptized and the Spirit drew him and empowered him for ministry. And who is baptized? All the disciples. Wait, wait, wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then he will empower you. But you will receive power after that. The Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will be my witnesses. But it was wait for it, wait for it. Baptism is so, so, so important. We can do nothing apart from the baptism, from the filling of the Holy Spirit. If that doesn't happen, you will constantly be in behavior modification, which is just like trying to keep the beach ball underwater. How's that work for you? You can keep it for a minute or two, but you sure can't keep it very long. And so, with that in mind, let's make it personal. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord is upon who?
Me.
Who?
Me.
Who?
Me.
Let's read it all together. The Spirit of the Lord is upon
me.
Because he is anointed
me.
To preach the good news to the poor. He has sent to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now I've got a question. Who do you know that needs set free? Who's coming to your mind right now other than yourself? Hopefully you think you need set free. Because you do. I do. I need to be set free from self every single day, multiple times throughout the day. But who came to your, what person came to your mind when I asked that question? Because now we're just going to pray. And guess what? You have a great opportunity this week to invite that person to a Thanksgiving dinner. Just to see that we're normal people. Almost normal. Almost normal. Are you with me? You know, so many of us are like the Dead Sea. Why is the Dead Sea the Dead Sea? Everything flows in and nothing goes out. Everything flows in and nothing goes out. Nothing can live in it. It's dead. Dear brothers and sisters, we need to give away what we've been given. Great opportunity this week. I don't want to run out of food, but I hope we run out of food. Do not just invite your Christian friends unless they need set free. Amen? All right. I'm going to lead us in prayer right now. The Holy Spirit, I think, is speaking to you guys, and you already have a name in your because He's the one that does it. So I'm just going to briefly pray, and you pray for that person, whoever He brought to your mind. Okay? Father in heaven, I thank You for the promised Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank You, thank You, thank You. You are here. We've welcomed You. We've worshiped You. You've drawn us into the presence of the Father. And now You've even brought to our mind someone to pray for, someone to invite this Wednesday, someone who needs set free. Please, we lift them before Your throne of grace. Please continue Your work in their lives. We simply lift them before You. Holy Spirit, minister to them and draw them to Yourself. And I ask that You would continue to use us, flow through us, to touch their lives for Your glory. In Your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. So with that in mind, let's walk in intimacy with God. If we're walking in intimacy with God, others are going to see it and want what we want. Oops, skipped one. Others will see it and want what we've got. Let's just walk in intimacy with Him. Now, I know last week you guys caught me because this wasn't applicable, but this week it is. Okay, turn to the person next to you, smiley face, frowny face. Okay, long enough. Okay, the title of this morning's message is Spiritual Baptism Via Death, or this could also be the title, but I didn't want to put that title on. Do Dead Bodies Sin? Do dead bodies sin? That could be the other title. So what does Scripture say? Again, if it is that color and it's underlined, that means they're blank in your sermon notes. If you want to take notes, they're there. If you don't, they're there for your pleasure anyway. And if you miss one of these blanks, it's okay. At the very end of the sermon notes, they're upside down and backwards in a little block or something like that. So we're going to start at Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. You're invited to open your Bibles. We are going to walk verse by verse, so you're welcome to open your Bibles, or you can follow the screen, either one. So in Romans 6, Paul talks about this death to self, this baptism stuff, and we're going to look at it. So Romans 6, chapter 1, and this is all from the NIV. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Now, where does Paul get this? It's a question. So he's referring back to something else. So we're going to look at Chapter 5, verse 1. Verse 1 says this: since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. You realize you have peace with God? If you're not experiencing peace in your life, something's wrong. Jesus, through faith, putting our trust in Him, He gives us peace with God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand. And then if we skip down to verse 20, this is next to the last verse. The law was added so that trespass or sin might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. Isn't that cool? You might think I've sinned so much, God's given up on me. Here's what Scripture says. Where sin increased, grace increased even more. Where sin increased, grace increased even more. And then Paul says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace can increase? It's a logical conclusion. Hey, the more I sin, the more grace there's going to be. Right? Isn't that logical? That's what Paul's saying. Where sin increased, grace increased that much more. So I'm sure there was someone there because Paul brought it out. And there's probably people here, well, gee, if I sin and grace covers it, then let's sin more because then there's even more grace. Isn't it logical? It is extremely logical. But what does Paul say in chapter 2? By no means. In other words, the modern day expression, fat chance. Or over my dead body. Or if you're raised like me, over your dead body. Now that's the way I was raised. You drag them back in and shoot them again. Okay. Just saying. What are some other modern expressions now? This is church. This is church. What other modern sanctified expressions go along with fat chance over my dead body, over your dead body? What are they? This is audience participation. Give me some. No way, Jose. No way, Jose. Love that. No way, Jose. What else? Bet me. I've not heard that one before. Bet me. What else? Not. Or that comedian, John, I can't remember his last name. Nay, nay. I say nay, nay. Come on, we need the most powerful negative because Paul's expression is actually the most powerful Greek expression that says no way. Never. Fat chance. Come on, what are some other ones? You guys got to have some more. God forbid. In your dreams. That's a good one. In your dreams. I mean, this is the most negative. I mean, he's just all over. And so here's, in essence, now get ready. This is audience participation. Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? And everyone said, now I'm priming you here, okay? I'm priming you. We're going to see how you can, whatever your favorite sanctified expression is, whatever your sanctified favorite expression is, when I say this, I want you to just shout it out. So it's going to be different ones all over the place. So I may say over your dead body, okay? But you're going to say whatever yours is. It may be, no way, Jose. Are you ready? And God will hear all of it because he can hear everything at the same time. Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? And everyone said,
no way. No, you didn't.
A little late there, dude. And he's our worship leader. You think he'd be on time? If the result is more grace, then why not? Why is it no way, Jose? Why is it? God forbid, may it never be. May Ginnita is what he says. May it never, ever, ever, ever be is what Paul said. Because Paul then goes on in the second half of this verse. We died to sin. You died to sin. You died to sin. How can we live any longer in it? And then verse 3, again, we're just going to go verse by verse. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? All of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. And so, an important theological question, do dead bodies sin? Everyone say it.
No.
I've checked it out. I took a pin with me one time to the funeral. Nothing happened. They don't get hurt feelings. Nothing happens. A dead body doesn't do anything. A dead body cannot sin. And that's Paul's argument. That's his whole thing. A dead body can't sin. And then he goes on verse 4 and 5, and this is only verse 4. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death. Now this week I was just speaking to someone, by the way, in the near future, we are going to have a baptism before the end of the year. And a couple of people have said they want to be, if you've never been baptized and you want to follow the Lord in baptism, and you want. Baptism, by the way, is an outward expression of something that's happened in here. And I was explaining baptism to this person because, you know, you're standing up, you're a dry sinner, you go down, now you're a wet sinner, and then you come back up as a wet sinner. Okay, but it's symbolic of when you go under the water, what is that symbolic of? Death. It's symbolic of death. And if we continue with the verse, being laid down in the waters of baptism is symbolic of being laid down in the grave, just like who? Who was laid in the grave? And then the next verse, in order that just as Jesus was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have, this is an if then, I love the if lens, it's a promise. If you meet it's called the prostasis, then you get the apodosis. Is that right, Matt? If you get the prostasis, and that means if you get the if, then you get the then. And I added the then because they didn't put it in the English. If we have been united with Christ, with Jesus, in his death, then we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. Is that cool? Here's a truth. Thank you. I need all the help I can get. This is just so foundational, but I think we forget it all the time. There must be a death in order to have a resurrection. Please, did you hear that? There has to be a death in order to have a resurrection. I got goosebumps saying that. There has to be a death. You see, if we're in behavior modification, that's last week, by the way, if you weren't here. If self is in control, if self is sitting on the throne of your life and you just keep trying harder, even doing good things, trying harder, that's behavior modification. There is no death to self. Self is still on the throne and you will try all your life to control self. And again, I just have one question for you. How's that working for you? I know how it worked for me. I know how it worked for Paul. The Apostle Paul, because he said it, the very thing that I said I would never do again, I find myself doing. The very thing I want to do, I don't do. That's self, back on the throne. There must be a death. There has to be a death in order for there to be a resurrection. Self must die. And we're not talking about suicide. We're talking about the Holy Spirit putting self within us to death. It's a spiritual death that must happen. Unless that happens, there can't be a resurrection. And I'm just telling you, if you are not living the victorious Christian life, maybe it's because there hasn't been a death yet. Because without a death, there can't be a resurrection. And Paul continues on. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with. And this old self, it literally is the old man, is the word that's used there, the old man. And I'm not exactly sure all that Paul meant. The NIV will refer to it like as the sin nature. That term doesn't appear. It's the old man must be crucified. And the word that's used there is, it's the old humanness. It's male or female. Self has to be put to death. The old man must be crucified. And we can't do it ourselves. It takes the Holy Spirit to do it. For we know that our old self, the old man, was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died is free from sin. Can a dead body sin? Do dead bodies sin? Everyone, please say that real loud. Well, if you've been sinning this week, guess what? And I've been sinning this week, okay? No one is exempt from this. In fact, I started in the morning, this morning, early in the morning, I got up, I raised my hands, I surrender all, and complete access, come and crucify self in me again. Crucify self, put the old man to death. Crucify the flesh in me. Holy Spirit, come and do that. Come and do that because I can't do it. Come and do it. And I know you guys think I'm a really terrible, horrible driver. I'm actually not that bad of a driver. I'm letting you into my thought life when I tell you about my driving. I don't yell and scream at people, only in my mind. Because in your mind, you never lose the argument. Are you with me? Men, women, think about it. Last time you were frustrated with your spouse, did you lose that argument in your mind? You win it every time. You don't win it in reality, but you win it in your mind. Are you guys following? Never mind that. That was Jeff, not the Holy Spirit. So, do dead bodies sin? No, they don't. So that the instant that you fall into that sin pattern that you swore you'd never do for the 1,000th time, that's not the Holy Spirit, that's the flesh, somehow has come back to life again. And so one a day, I'm telling you, how many people have their devotions? Do not raise your hands. But I'm amazed how many people, because I have interviewed lots of people over the years, tell me about your devotional life. Very few people have consistent devotions. I'm telling you, devotions in the morning get you on the right start. But the moment you sin, that's all gone. It's out the door. Self is back in control again. And when you're on automatic pilot, that is self, not the Holy Spirit. I don't know how many times a day, but it's a lot that I have to stop. I raise my hands. And there's nothing special about raising hands. I just love King David. He was a warrior. So I imagine myself to being a warrior. I raise my hands. Literally, if I'm laying in bed, I raise my hands. Full surrender. Full access. Holy Spirit, please forgive me. I blew it again. Jesus, please forgive me. I blew it again. Holy Spirit, please come and fill me. And please crucify that sucker again. Am I allowed to say sucker in church? I hope that's okay. crucify self again. It might be 5 minutes later, I got to do it all over again. It may be an hour, it may be 2 hours, I don't know. Sometimes all it takes is a really slow driver. Just between here and home. And a week ago, someone confessed that they just always let the guy go on left, go on left, go on left. And I'm like, yeah, I've watched you. That person just wants to see me grow in sanctification, that's all. Now, I would never yell at someone. I would not do that. But if I do it in here, it's not as bad, but it's almost. Because Jesus said, basically, in your thought life, if you look at a woman and you lust after her, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart. It's sin. Our thoughts are sinful. So when you're in traffic, and traffic is one of my weak spots, I want to get her done, and I don't even know why I want to get her done. What's the hurry? It hit me the other day. I'm in a hurry. It's my day off, and I'm in a hurry to get to Walmart. Why? Self. Ugh. Please come and put me out of my misery, Holy Spirit. Please. Full surrender, full access. I'm telling you. And you guys didn't ask me in the interview, and I know I haven't said that in a while, but the elders had no idea that I have to ask forgiveness at least a dozen times a day. I have to full surrender, full access. So if you see someone raising their hands in Walmart, you know what's going on. Have you noticed that in the self-checkout, people are starting going through the whole shopping carts full? I'm letting you into my thought life. It's a scary place. I would never say anything to any of them. I will only smile. And then the Holy Spirit, so if you see me with my hands raised in Walmart, you know what's happening. Are you with me? One and done doesn't get it done. It doesn't for me. And obviously for the Apostle Paul. And we're going to see that in Romans 7. We're going to continue next week. We're going to do the rest of 6. And then we're going to 7 and go to 8. It is such a powerful passage. Paul was on this journey. We're on the same journey as Paul was on. And there is victory. There is victory. There is victory. And that's the good news. And here we've got another if. We've got another if we meet the first part, then we get the second part. Now, if we die with Christ, then we believe that we will live with him. Is that good news? Oh, my goodness. And it's not just talking about on the other side when we have our resurrected bodies. It's talking about here and now. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives unto God. Now, we don't die once and for all to sin. Because somehow sin keeps coming back to life. I don't know how it happens. I don't know how it happens. I don't know how it happens in me. I just know it happens. The moment I lack the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, self-control. So last night when I killed off that ice cream, that was not the Holy Spirit. That Breyers vanilla didn't have any brownies, but there was plenty of vanilla ice cream and chocolate all over the place. Could have gagged a hummingbird. Now let's go to Paul's practical application. Paul switches gears. He's talking about, in one sense, the theological aspect of this. Now he goes to a practical application, and I love this. In the same way, in the way that Jesus died, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ. Now that word count, the King James calls it reckon. I love the word reckon. But it's not the typical use of the word reckon. You know, when I would ask my parents something, they might say, I reckon so. And then it might happen. You know, it was a reluctant and maybe. It was a little bit more on the yes than it was on the no, I reckon so. That is not what this is talking about. That is not what this is talking about. This word reckon, in the same way, reckon yourselves to be dead to sin and alive to Christ. It means consider it. It means think upon it. Be of the opinion. Give careful thought to. See, it's an accounting term. Now, I don't know what your bank accounts are, but I can promise you that if you had $1 million in your bank account, you would probably act a little bit differently if you had $3 in your bank account. Amen? You wouldn't even look at the balance if you knew you had $1 million in there. Sure, I'll take one of those and two of those. You wouldn't even be caring about, you probably wouldn't even shop at Walmart. You'd be somewhere else. But if you're like me, you shop at Walmart and you're careful. That's the word reckon. In your mind, base reality on it. You got $1 million. Base reality on, you are dead to self. You are dead to self and alive to God. Base your life on it. Bank your life on it. That's what he's talking about. Count it to be that way. Reckon it. Consider it. Think upon it. Be of the opinion. Give careful thought to. So that when I'm being tempted by something, am I a son of God who's dead to self and filled with the Holy Spirit? Or am I a carnal believer and I'm in control? Which one is it? Well, Lord willing, I'm going to reckon this reality and plead for the Holy Spirit to give me victory over and empower me to have victory over sin. Because if you do not do that, you tell me what happens. You wind up asking forgiveness for the same thing all over again. And then you wonder, will God forgive me this time? How can he forgive me again for the same thing? And then all this doubt comes in and all these accusations from the enemy come in where we could be living in victory because Paul says, reckon it, count it, base your life on it, that it's reality. In the same way, you don't have it in your notes again, but that's why it's in the green because I just put up there again. In the same way, reckon, count, know it, believe it with all of your heart that you're dead to sin. And alive to Jesus Christ. It's twofold. First, it's dead to sin. I am dead to sin. I am dead to sin. I died to sin. It doesn't have mastery over me anymore. I reckon it to be reality. And then the second part is, I reckon that I am alive unto God. I'm His. The Holy Spirit's in me. Now, are you still going to screw up sometimes? Are you still going to be a chucklehead once in a while? Yes, but it's going to happen less and less and less because you're going to hear the Holy Spirit more and more and more. And that moment you start to go in that direction, the Holy Spirit's going to bring His conviction and His empowerment to give us victory over sin. And please know, we're back at Paul said in Philippians, not that I've already arrived, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, I press on toward the goal. I've not arrived in this. I'm sharing you out of my life story. I'm on the same journey. But this is real. This is true. Amen? Sorry, you got a pastor that struggles. Sorry. Life is tough. Suck it up, okay? Either I just talk to the elders and they can fire me. Paul continues on, therefore, based upon all this other stuff. Whenever you see a therefore, it means look back. Therefore, based upon all this truth that you died with Jesus Christ, you were buried with him, and you're raised to new life. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies so that you obey its evil desires. Don't let that happen. Stand over here. Claim your death to self. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you and to give you victory. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Don't let sin reign. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body as instruments of righteousness. And then he goes on, for sin shall not be your master because you are not under the law, but under grace. So here we go. Tomorrow morning. What do I do tomorrow morning? If you haven't heard anything else, please listen now. Tomorrow morning, here's what I do every morning. I start off, ask for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Luke 11:11-13 in essence says, how much more will your Heavenly Father give to you the Holy Spirit when you ask? Every morning and throughout the day, I begin with that. Daily prayer, ask for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is one that told us that. Ask for the filling of the Holy Spirit, and actually, when I do that, and I'll just share with you, when I pray like that, I feel his presence in my hands. I feel a weightiness. The glory of God, some of the etymological meaning, the historical meaning, the foundational meaning is weightiness. The glory of God is heavy. I feel it. I sense it. You may sense it in some other way. I do it in my hands. When I raise my hands, I feel the weightiness of his presence. And then I ask Holy Spirit, please crucify self. Crucify me. Crucify Jeff. And then I go into other verses. You don't have to write them all down, but if you want them. In Corinthians 6:19-20, your body is not your own. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I'll quote that verse and I'll say, Lord, this body is not even mine. Come and crucify self. It's your body. Come and take up complete residence because I'm yours, not mine. This temple is yours. Come and fill it. Every aspect of it. Body, soul, spirit, intellect, will, desires, everything. Come and fill everything and crucify self. And then I reckon it. It's a reality. I will die on this rascal. It's real. This is not some intellectual exercise. This is reality. I'm going to reckon it. I'm going to stand on it. I'm going to claim it, that it's mine. Not because of who I am, but because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. He is the one that's done it. And then I offer, after death to self, Holy Spirit, now I give myself as an instrument of righteousness to you. I'm yours. This body's not mine, it's yours. And again, reckon it, believe it, act as though it's reality, because it is. Paul says it later on in the book. Therefore, I urge you, brothers. And again, this brothers is brothers and sisters. It's a term that means all of humanity. It means all believers. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And I'll be honest, I have no idea how that body gets off of that altar. But it crawls off of the altar and comes back in control. Does anyone know how it happens? I just know it happens. I don't know how it happens. I don't know how it happens. But he just keeps crawling off of that altar because this is a living sacrifice. It's alive but dead. He crawls back off, and when that happens, you know, you can have the best plan in the world, but you better have a backup plan. OK, Because I promise you, your plan will not succeed every time. You may have the best of intentions, but I promise you. You know, if you've been in the military, and I've not been, but I've read a lot of military leaders and generals and Sun Tzu and Machiavelli, and I've studied all that stuff. So try anything on me you want. I've read about tactics. I know how to war. One of the first things is, you have a whole battle plan. As soon as the battle starts, it's out the window. Now you're adjusting and adapting to new realities. You got to have a backup plan. When you sin, when self comes back off of that altar, acknowledge it. Acknowledge it. ASAP. Acknowledge it. When that person gets in line with 5,000 things in that shopping cart, even the thought, Father, I'm sinning. Acknowledge it, repent, ask forgiveness, re-reckon and claim what's yours. And you may be asking, how often? You only have to do it every time you sin. That's all. You only have to do it when you sin. You only have to do it when self comes back off and takes control. That's all. I want everyone to practice right now. Just raise your hands. Anyone not able to do that? I know some of my shoulders killing me, but I can still do it. That's practice. That's practice this week. Don't do it in public so much, okay? If you're in school, don't do it in school. Unless it's someone that you're witnessing to, and then use it as a, are you crazy? Why are you raising your hands? Well, I'm letting air out. You only have to do this every time you sin. And please, 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 it is only through the Holy Spirit's empowerment. It is the Holy Spirit flowing through us. Why did Jesus wait 30 years to enter ministry? Because he needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why did he command the disciples, wait, wait, wait until you're baptized with the Holy Spirit? Again, I believe that he intentionally used the word baptized so that we couldn't miss that it is what happened to him, happens to us. And then when it happened, the scriptures use the word filled. And in Ephesians, be not drunk with wine, but be being filled. Here's what our part is. Full surrender, full access. Ask the Holy Spirit. Reckon it to be so. That's our part. Here's the Holy Spirit's part. Convicting us of sin. Crucifixion of self. Empowerment. That's the victory over sin. And then the Holy Spirit continues by giving us the fruit of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We get both. And that's where the abundant life is found. Not just the fruit, but the gifts of the Holy Spirit as well. Not just fruit, but gifts. All of the gifts are for today. All of them. Oh, I put our table talk in here. What are your thoughts on Paul's question? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? So at some point today, oh, and by the way, I didn't announce it. We do not have, you know, at 6 o'clock on Sunday evenings, I'm going to start calling it Q&A and prayer. If you have a question about the message, come at 6 o'clock, not tonight, because tonight there is a reception tonight for the former pastor's son. But every other Sunday night, we have Q&A. You can ask any question about the message that morning. Q&A time, and then it's prayer time. Q&A and prayer. Q&A and prayer. That's what we do every Sunday night. We will not have it tonight. So you can't get off in waiting till tonight. So, right after service, come and ask me if you have a question. Table talk. What are your thoughts on Paul's question, shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? How is baptism a symbol of dying with Christ? Oops. Why must there be a death to have a resurrection? Please wrestle with that question. Please wrestle with that question. Why does there have to be a death to have a resurrection? How does that relate to being set free from sin and alive to God? Finally, in your opinion, what is the significance of Paul's use of the term count or reckon? What's the significance of that? We're going to have prayer, and then we're going to worship through singing. So if the worship team would come up, and I'm just going to lead us in prayer, and then we're going to worship the Lord together. Oh, Father, I thank you for how you spoke through your Spirit, speaking through Paul, and we have the Holy Scriptures. And we have Romans 6, and we've only been looking at verses 1 through 14. Please continue to teach us, teach me and us about your grace and how we can die to self. We have died to self. Teach me and us how to reckon that, how to stand on that truth, how to live into that truth through the Holy Spirit's empowerment, so that then we can actually offer ourselves to be an instrument of yours, an instrument of righteousness. Please, please continue to transform our minds. Because Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Oh, please, please work on my mind and my heart. Work on our minds and our hearts. Teach us about death, about reckoning it, and about offering ourselves as living sacrifices. Please, please deliver us from self. I ask that you would take each one of us to new levels of intimacy with you. And I also pray for those people that you put on our hearts and minds to invite to this Thanksgiving dinner, or to just be kind, or to show kindness, to show your love, and maybe even to share the gospel with. But even an act of kindness is a part of the gospel. So I thank you in advance for the amazing things you're going to do in each one of us, and then what you're going to do through each one of us, all to your glory. I believe, help my unbelief. Abba, Father, we pray these things, and we pray them in your name and in your authority, Lord Jesus. And all in agreement said,